And I will tell you that thanks to some emergency appeals that went out in the last 2 days, including an Oregonian editorial today, calls on TV and radio, I can proudly tell you we're now fully staffed through the weekend at all of our warming centers, an unprecedented level of public response in terms of people volunteering. The Salvation Army has done yeoman's work, and in particular, I want to call out the Salvation Army Women's Shelter. We don't have enough spaces for women in our community. They run a women's shelter in Old Town Chinatown. I've spent quite a bit of time there over the last week. Some of the stories that I've heard from people who are there have frankly shocked me to the point I'm no longer shocked. The resilience of people who are victims of domestic violence and other traumatic events. But the staff there is going above and beyond, and we're very proud of them. We have a number of nonprofit partners that have been working overtime to help be part of the solution. They include Join, that has actually sent teams out every night into places where camping occurs, trying to get people to come in, inside. And where they've been unsuccessful, they're taking blankets and jackets and other emergency supplies to people who, for whatever reason, choose to spend the night outside. To Human Solutions, which is operating our family warming center, which is at 81st Avenue, just behind Elmer's. A critical new piece in our safety net, where you will find families with children, and I, as my colleagues know, there are approximately 2,000 homeless children in our community who go to public school every day. And when you go to this shelter and you see families with the kids that are going to school and you think, boy, on top of all the other challenges of being a middle school student or high school student, imagine spending your nights in a shelter rather than a home and not having a room of your own. Jean DeMaster and her team of volunteers are doing a great job at that site. And also Transition Partners, Inc., that is running their shelter at 5th and Gleason. And also that's where people can sign up. And in partnership with Multnomah County, we're placing people at the Meade Building at 5th and Washington, which has become a backup facility and critical. I want to also acknowledge the work of the folks at 211, the emergency operators answering the calls. They have been just stalwart, and we've had no interruptions in the service, and they're actually the ones giving out all the information about locations for people when they call. They've done a great job. Hundreds of volunteers from across our community have signed up to help, and I will tell you from my experience and my daughter's experience and experience of our friends, it's a life-changing thing to come into contact with people who have nothing and who are going day to day hoping to get through the day and to be able to be of service and to work with other folks. I you know, to me, the only time I've ever personally experienced anything like this that's comparable was when the Oregon reaction to 9/11 and the flight for freedom, when 1,000 Oregonians went back to New York during very challenging times. I've never seen such spirit, and I don't know what to attribute it to other than just the innate decency of Oregonians who respond to tragedy and who respond to suffering and who've stepped up this holiday time. I want to again thank my colleagues on the council. With your support and Commissioner Leonard's leadership, we were able to get ahead of the curve on the warming centers. And thank God we made that investment. And thanks to BDS and others who expedited the permitting process so we could get the work done so it was ready to receive people. But the combination of the warming centers and the contract with the Red Cross has allowed us to substantially expand our capacity and make sure that everybody in our community who sought shelter received it. I want to thank the Oregon Food Bank and other providers throughout the city. People are literally showing up at warming centers with food to make sure that people have at least one warm meal a night. And when we had a complete systems breakdown at the Four Square Church, Deputy Chief Schmidt, Division Chief of Operations of the Fire Bureau, himself went to Costco's and loaded up and brought food back so people would have a hot meal. I also want to acknowledge the churches in our community, Union Gospel Mission, St. Francis, and their dining hall. A couple is running that center, serving 200 people a day and providing a place to sleep for 100. I have never seen anything like this. And, of course, when you ask these folks about what they're doing, they refuse to accept any credit. They don't see that what they're doing is remarkable in any way, and I consistently have told me, literally, that they thank God that they've been given the opportunity to serve others. I also want to acknowledge a couple other people. One is a Mr. Ali, who is the volunteer coordinator for the program at the Four Square Church, and he has every night and evening led the effort. He's a gentleman that one day couldn't get to work because his car got stuck, so we dispatched another fire unit, and we got him out of the snow and got him there. He is managing a facility that is about 150% of capacity right now. And as you know, whereas we screen in a number of the full-time permanent shelters, in an emergency like this, we do not screen people who come to our shelters. If you need space for any reason. And that frankly means that in addition to all the sort of normal deserving people in the population, we also have some very challenging people, people that are active users of drugs who may be inebriated, and in fact, people who may have warrants out or may be engaging in antisocial behavior. We don't turn anyone away. And Mr. Ali has this unbelievable capacity for maintaining calm at the center. One of his techniques is to keep moving up the curfew, turning off the lights a little earlier. He's found that when the lights go dim, it has a very therapeutic effect, and he's a hero, but he is one of many. And I could go on and on and on. I would say that if someone's watching this now or hears of this and wants to know what he or she can do, a couple of suggestions. We still need supplies, blankets, socks, coats, tarps, gloves, and I would suggest you call the Red Cross. They can direct you to the right places where to deliver those, or call 211, and they can let you know what our facilities are. It's the end of the year, and if you're thinking of making a charitable contribution, I can't think of a better place to put it than to go online and contribute to the Red Cross or the Salvation Army, to join, J-O-I-N, to TPI, or to any of the other folks like Union Gospel Mission or St. Francis or other churches and synagogues in our community. If you have some time, I would urge you to go to the newspapers. They're listing places where today and tomorrow you can volunteer to serve Christmas meals to our neediest. And I know a number of us are planning to do that today and tomorrow, and there's a big feed on Christmas Day at the YWCA. And finally, I would say if you can't do any of those things, but you have a few minutes, I would say pray for warm weather, because we are hoping that warm weather comes our way this Friday, the day after Christmas, so that by Saturday we can begin to demobilize the emergency effort and get back to status quo. But Mayor, I will tell you, I am never amazed at the capacity of human beings to step up and meet challenge. I mean, it is just the nature of things. But I guess I have rarely seen an effort as inspiring as what I've seen across jurisdiction, across bureaus, from people of all walks of life who've stepped up. And again, I want to acknowledge that this council was ahead of the curve in authorizing the money, and all of our city employees have performed remarkably. And I want to acknowledge that, and on the eve of Christmas, thank everyone for their work. And I think we've learned a lot, and it will help us adjust our programs going forward. But as your Housing and Fire Commissioner, I could not be prouder of the coordinated effort that has literally saved hundreds of lives this holiday season. So thank you all. So
I want to make sure to reserve this moment for Tom to have the last word. So I want to say a couple things before he does. Nick, you said that you don't know what to attribute all the people doing what they did was. Well, I'm sure as Tom would tell you quickly from his experience at the police bureau, and from my own background, there are a lot of good, hardworking, well-intentioned people, but therefore not if you don't have a command structure in place with a strong leader at the top. And I frankly would not have occurred to me to ever call anybody and offer the Water Bureau bus or the Water Bureau vans if you hadn't asked me. And it may seem like a simple thing to you, but in an emergency, communications and clear communications are the most important thing that can happen. And I have just been awestruck by your commitment to this. And I don't think people know, because I don't even know if your colleagues know other than myself, because you and I have talked, that Nick has actually been in the streets working every night and every weekend since this began, personally organizing and directing cooperation where it wasn't happening, taking well-intentioned people who would have, you know, often as we used to say, walk around in circles knowing not what to do, and forcing them to work together and forcing the system to work. Honestly, I didn't think I had anything to learn as the incoming fire commissioner. And I will be a different fire commissioner watching you this last few days. I never would have thought I would have said that 2 weeks ago. I mean, you've absolutely jumped into the middle of what was a potential catastrophe that people would have died in. There's no doubt in my mind that, notwithstanding the $200,000, notwithstanding the buses, notwithstanding the good intentions of people, people would have died if you didn't have a strong incident commander at the top, and you were that person. And I would have never thought you would have done that, given your background. And you've just done, your instincts are perfect. And, you know, as I've communicated to you before, you've just really stepped up. I mean, you can serve on this council for 20 years, and there will most probably never be again an incident like this happen for you to display what you've displayed with only 6 months on the council. And I think if Tom and I were signing your probation reports to either police or fire bureau, we would cut your probation short by 6 months and say you passed. You no longer have to be hazed because you...
Well, you won't be recalled.
You won't be recalled. honestly, Nick, done a remarkable job. And we've had all these elements in place before. I've never seen them work together like they are now, and that's solely attributed to you.
Well, thank you, Randy, very much for those kind words. And I, you know, I didn't mention BHCD because I wanted to share the credit with others, but in light of your comments, I would like to acknowledge that the Bureau of Housing and Community Development has stepped up in a way that I think is also unprecedented for the Bureau. And Sally Erickson and Ryan Diebert were placed by Carmen Merlo into the Unified Command. Now, they are the people 24/7 who've been fielding the calls and working with me. They have performed brilliantly and have been part of conference calls several times a day with our whole team troubleshooting, getting backup plans in place. So to Sally and Ryan, a heartfelt thanks for their great work. And I will tell you that we've learned some things about homelessness through this and about our capacity and about how to better serve the folks who need these services. And they have done a magnificent job. So I want to acknowledge their work, too. And thank you, Commissioner Leonard.
And I also support what Commissioner Leonard said. I think I was not aware of all the things that you've done, but I've certainly been aware of all the activity that's been going on. And I think that the Fire Bureau and the Water Bureau have really stepped up. And it's just amazing. And I'm very, very proud also of our Office of Emergency Management because they obviously put a lot of structure to what has happened. And so we've got a lot to be thankful for. And I want to thank the council and to all of Portland. I wish them a Merry Christmas, a Happy Hanukkah, a peaceful Eid, and a meaningful Kwanzaa. So to all of Portland, thank you so much for this opportunity. We're adjourned until January 7th, 2009. Thank you. Thanks,
Tom.
Good job, Randy.
Thank you.